Here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Going Old School Show, live on blogtalkradio.com, Wednesday, right smack dab in the middle of March, the 15th, actually, of the year 2023. Lots going on in the sports world. You got a little bit of time here. The guys and I will talk a little Celtics, maybe a little Bruins, of course, but I'm, you know, that's way in the back burner now because the NFL is taking over, as they do all the time at this time of year. NFL free agency has come officially. And without further ado, what better way to bring an NFL free agency is to talk with special guests. He is the Arizona Cardinals and NFL reporter for Phoenix Sports, Hall of Fame selector, co-host of a weekly Hall of Fame radio show on Sirius XM NFL Radio. And he joined us once again, good friend Howard Balzer. Howard, John, and Joe here. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
All good, Howard. All good, Howard.
Doing good.
As well. The NFL has taken over, and every sport else is a backseat. But let's get into free agency, shall we? It all started on Monday, the so-called legal tampering period. But I want to talk about the gorilla in the room, and that is one Aaron Rodgers and what you've witnessed today and all that went on with Rodgers. I guess I just want to say that your thoughts on him with today's news, and he's one of the most polarizing athletes on the planet, in my opinion. That being, of course, he intends to play for the New York Jets. What's your thoughts on him, what he brings, his intention? Because I'll be honest with you, Howard, until it's signed, sealed, and delivered, I don't know what this guy's going to do, but I wanted your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that part, definitely. And it's almost as if he's, in a sense, saying to the Packers and the Jets, for that matter, hey, get this done, you know, figure it out. I mean, he knows, you know, deep down the Packers probably don't want him back. He obviously knows the Jets want him. And so it just comes down to the Packers and Jets agreeing on, you know, what the trade terms are going to be, which is not, you know, it sounds okay, just get it done. But, I mean, we are talking about how old is he now? Is he close to 39? I'm not sure his exact age. But, right. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's probably, and I say probably, a 1 or a 2 year rental, I guess. And, mm-hmm. you know, I guess that you could make the argument that he could play longer than that, but you're certainly not assured of it. So if I'm the Jets, we obviously don't know what the Packers are asking for. You would think that if the Packers were asking for something, what the Jets believe is reasonable, the deal would have been done. And so it's, you know, the Packers don't have a real urgency to get this taken care of, because this option bonus of over $56 million that's in his contract this year doesn't have an actual date when it has to be paid. It's just supposed to be paid prior to the first, I think it's about prior to the first game of the season. And so since it's an option bonus, not salary, then it's prorated over their cap. So they're not taking a ridiculous cap hit for this, and even after he's traded, his cap number will actually go up a little bit. And so I'm sure from the Packers standpoint, I mean, I don't know if they're trying to get a first round pick or something more than that. I mean, who knows? And if I'm the Jets, I'm saying, well, hold it. We're not going to have this guy for a long time. It seems to me, and this is just, you know, me talking off the top of my head, that the way to structure a trade would be, you know, based on how long he plays with the Jets. So you have conditional draft picks in there so that, and I think he only has 2 years left. I believe it's 2 years left on his contract. And so if he plays for longer than 2 years, if he plays into a third year, then the Packers would get another draft pick and so on and so on. So I don't know if that's been talked about. It would certainly seem to make some sense to me to figure it out that way. And so, you know, but you're right. Rodgers is polarizing. There's no doubt about it. You know, the Jets fans are sitting on pins and needles waiting to find out, you know, how this is going to play out. And certainly the media, from their standpoint, here's a guy that obviously has shown his disdain for the media and taken his little shots at them. Boy, what's that going to be like for him in New York, you know, dealing with that, you know, with that media? But I also know, we also know that it means, you know, going from as much as he is a covered guy and as popular, you know, quote popular or talked about from the the Green Bay angle, you know, you go to the number one market in the NFL, and all of a sudden you've got multiple. I mean, heck, you know, the networks put the Jets and the Giants on Monday Night Football and other primetime games, even when they're bad. And so now you would probably get the maximum number of those games, and you know, and all that. So, like I said, I think it's going to get taken care of sooner or later. But you just never know because of some of the unique aspects of this contract and of this situation.
Howard, as you said, no urgency for the Packers, but you have the Jets on the other side. Obviously, you got free agency going on right now. You got the draft coming up. At what point they have to say, okay, we have to get this done or go forward, don't they?
You would think so. You would think so. And, you know, they've already signed or at least agreed to terms. We don't know now with the new league year starting today whether the contract is official or will they wait. I mean, they agreed to terms in the last couple of days with Alan Lazard, one of the Packers' wide receivers. And so, you know, of course, Rodgers denied today that he made any demands that the Packers sign certain players. But I think it's fair to say we know he made suggestions. But do the Jets consummate that contract? I mean, Lazard, I'm sure, is signing it, you would think, based on the fact that Rodgers will be there. Well, do the Jets go ahead and just sign it, figuring they're going to get him at some point? Or do they kind of wait to see until this, you know, all gets finalized? So, you know, again, you would think that sane heads would prevail and they'll get this done in relative, you know, due course. But, hey, in the NFL, you never know.
So, Howard, switching course here to the Arizona Cardinals, you were mentioning before we got on air of what you tweeted about with their spending. Do you see them going after any free agents or any big-time free agents over the next week or so?
I would doubt it, and I don't know if there's a whole lot of big-time free agents left. This was not a tremendous group of free agents, you know, already. And like I said, I tweeted that it's like the Cardinals are shopping at the dollar store and just getting the most reasonable deals that they could today. They reached agreement with Kevin Strong, a defensive lineman from the Titans, who, of course, you know, Monty Ossenfort, the general manager, knows because, you know, he was with the Titans before getting the Cardinals GM job. And he started one game last year and obviously is a rotation guy and a younger player and signed a one-year contract. Then they signed a guy, Hjalte Froholt, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, kind of a versatile offensive lineman that was a fourth-round pick of the Patriots in 2019 when Ossenfort was still there in their scouting department. And then he moved on and ended up with the Browns, where he did start six games last year, two at right guard and four at center. And the Browns is where the Cardinals offensive coordinator, Drew Petzing, was the quarterback's coach last year. So they signed him today or agreed to terms on a two-year deal. So they're signing these one- and two-year deals. We don't know the terms on those yet, but it looks like that's going to be their plan for this offseason. And, you know, they've got the cap room. And, by the way, they've opened free agency now with DeAndre Hopkins on the roster, and he counts $30 million against the cap. But, you know, they know if they trade him, he's still going to count $22 million, so they're only going to save $8 million. But they've got the cap space, but it's like, hey, we know that Kyler Murray isn't going to start the season. Who knows what this season is going to look like. There's fans already, guys, in Arizona that are tweeting that already talking about the Cardinals tanking and hoping, you know, perhaps to get the first overall pick next year and then auctioning off that pick for teams that would want Caleb, the USC quarterback. Was it Caleb Williams? Is that the last name?
Yeah,
I thought so. So there's already people, you know, speculating that that's what the Cardinals are up to. You know, it's not like they're totally devoid of talent, but, you know, they re-signed two of their starters on the offensive line, right tackle Kelvin Beachum, 2 years, $5 million, and then Will Hernandez, a right guard, 2 years, $9 million. So it looks like that's what their plan is going to be. And, you know, who knows, maybe there is some guy that they feel is worth a 3 or a 4 year deal, but I don't know that there's, you know, all that much out there in free agency anyway that's probably worth that. So, you know, we'll see, you know, we'll see where it goes from here, but it looks like they're going to just try to patch together a roster that can be as competitive as possible and, you know, and then see where it goes from there with, you know, last week they cut Marcus Golden, who was a pretty good pass rusher. He's 32 years old, and so I only half joked on Twitter that the Cardinals are just, you know, kind of getting rid of, you know, especially on defense or offense, getting rid of the players like Golden that are older than their coaches. So because of how young their coaching staff is, and so, you know, they did re-sign kicker Matt Prater, who's kind of quite up there in years, but at least he's younger than their special teams coach, you know, Jeff Rogers, who's in his 40s. So it's kind of a bizarre situation. And like I said, we'll just see, you know, see where it goes from here. But that's, like I said, that seems to be their plan.
Howard, subtractions. One guy I really liked kind of grew on me last year. Without J.J. Watt there, Zach Allen really stepped up even when he was.
Yeah.
He goes to Denver for 3 years. And Byron Murphy, another important cog. Those are two big holes to fill. Do you see anyone on the roster now, or is that going to be after adjust free agency? And how sorely will they miss a guy like a Zach Allen on the defensive line who is just seemingly is coming into his own?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, he was improving every year. And, you know, the idea, and I know that these weren't guys drafted by this group, but still, your goal as a team when you draft guys, and Allen was a third-round pick, Murphy was a second-round pick, your goal, obviously, is you hope those players develop and to be good enough that they're worthy of that second contract and that you're able to keep them. Well, I mean, Allen got he got one of those rare contracts, guys, that actually – was exactly how it was reported. You know, so many times we see the national guys just put out numbers that the agents tell them. And, you know, Byron Murphy was a perfect example. That one was, you know, bandied as a $22 million two-year contract. Well, it's really 17.5 because the agent the agent that told the national reporters included like $4 million plus of incentives in the base deal, which is kind of a no-no. And it wasn't reported as up to $22 million. It was reported as $22 million. And so, but Allen's deal was just what it was reported. And he's got a big, you know, a big salary next year that's guaranteed over $15 million. He got over $32 million that was guaranteed, which includes a signing bonus and his first 2 years of base salary. 3 years, over $15 million. So I'm sure the Cardinals thought that was a bit rich for their blood, but they don't have much on the defensive line now. I mean, I was putting together their, their roster as it stands, which is including unsigned guys and all that. They only have right now 4 signed players on that are defensive linemen. And one of them was an undrafted free agent from last year that, you know, played like 1 or 2 games when he was added to the roster. And another was a guy added to the roster late, a guy named Eric Banks. Now, they did tender a defensive lineman that looks like he has some potential, Jonathan Ledbetter, tendered him as an exclusive rights free agent. So you can almost count him as being under contract. But that's only 5 guys. And so they've got a lot of holes to fill on that line. One of the returning guys is Rashard Lawrence, a good defensive tackle, but he's hardly ever on the field and ended last season on injured reserve. At cornerback, boy, oh, boy. I mean, the only cornerbacks they have under contract now are Marco Wilson, who has played well in his first two seasons, and Christian Matthew, who was a seventh-round pick last year. That's their only two corners. And so, boy, and there was an issue last year with Byron Murphy Jr. being injured and Antonio Hamilton, who was injured early. He's an unrestricted free agent. So who knows what direction they're going to go there. I thought the Murphy contract was one that maybe you go with as a team and try to get him re-signed, assuming he wanted to come back. Because even though it's 2 years, $17.5 million, you can get out of it after 1 year and $8.1 million. And so that's not that bad a price to pay for a pretty good corner. Obviously, you're hoping that he's healthy because he missed eight games because of a back injury. And so, but again, that's a tough thing in free agency. They had a lot of needs on this team even before those two departures. And now those two guys leave, and it creates more needs on the team. And, you know, Kevin Strong's a defensive lineman. So I mentioned, you know, how many guys they have under contracts. So you can add another one there, but, you know, that's a one-year deal. And so they've got a lot of work to do in patching together just anybody who can be, you know, competitive, and then, you know, hope you know, as many as possible stay healthy.
Going back to Hopkins just for a second, of course, rumors of a trip, possible deal between the Cardinals and the Patriots, and the Pats picked up Juju Smith-Schuster today to take the spot of Jacoby Myers, who went to the Raiders. Is that a fit possibly still, do you think?
It doesn't seem to be the Patriots' way. I mean, they got I haven't seen the breakdown on Smith-Schuster yet, and so how real that 3 years and $33 million is. But, you know, Hopkins comes, A, with 2 years of injuries that he's had. He wasn't that injured last year. He did have a hamstring that bothered him a bit, and he had the six-game suspension. The year before, of course, he missed games with a hamstring injury and a knee injury at the end of the year. He's going to be 31 years old in June, and he has about $34 million on his contract for the next two seasons. And apparently he wants guaranteed money in there. Don't know if he's hoping for an extension and that, you know, he's hoping that that's what a team, you know, would do. And, you know, because his base salary for this year right now is like, it's like $19.4 million. And that all goes against the cap if you trade for him. So that's a pretty big chunk for a guy who's going to be 31 and has had some injuries the last 2 years. So you could lower that and turn it into a signing bonus and prorate it out and add, you know, a year or two to the contract, maybe add void years, but you're still going to have to pay. It just doesn't seem like that's the Patriots' way. And especially in terms of draft choice compensation. I mean, it's almost a fervor here in the Arizona area with these people wondering, well, why can't the Cardinals get a first-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins? And they said shouldn't settle for anything worse than a premium second-round pick. Well, the reality is the Cardinals didn't give a first-round pick when they traded for Hopkins 3 years ago, obviously when he was 28 instead of 31. And that was because they knew, and every team that might have been interested knew, that he wanted a new contract. So in these days, I think what a lot of people forget and don't take into account is that draft choice compensation is related to what the player's contract is and other issues, of, you know, as well. And so when the Rams are only able to get a third-round pick and a, you know, just kind of a guy, a tight end, Hunter Long, Jalen Ramsey, who hasn't had injury issues and is 2 years younger than DeAndre Hopkins, then I don't know why anyone would think you're going to get better than a third-round pick, you know, for Hopkins. So, I, you know, and a lot of people were, you know what happens, and you know how it happens, guys. People look at teams that, oh, they need a receiver, so they would be a choice. And so one of the hot supposed spots for Hopkins was going to be Kansas City. And I'm thinking to myself, and I not only to myself, I put it out there and talked about it locally on radio and on podcast. Why would anyone think that the Chiefs, who traded Tyreek Hill, now I know they got a good draft choice package for him, but why would they let Tyreek Hill go at the age of 28, I believe he was, last year, and then, you know, add Marques Valdez-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster and still win the Super Bowl? You know, why would they then go and pay, you know, a draft pick for a guy who's going to be 31 and has this, you know, contract there, and, unless he's willing to take a pay cut? But I don't see DeAndre Hopkins willing to do that. So I've often thought that, you know, the Cardinals can hold out and try to get as high a draft pick as possible, but at some point, if they're truly going to move on for him, they've just got to take the best deal they can and just be done with it. So I don't know what they'll do. I don't know what teams, you know, people keep saying, oh, there's a lot of interest in him. Well, if there's a lot of interest, the deal would be done. To me, that would be the case. And, you know, here we are. I know it's still early, obviously, in the process, but I'm fairly safe in saying that if a trade does happen, that the Cardinal fans at least are not going to be happy with it. But I'll tell you how delusional some Cardinal fans are. They say, well, even without Hopkins, boy, it'll be great to see them build a receiver core around Marquise Brown, Greg Dortch, and Rondale Moore. Well, Marquise Brown is 5'9", and Dortch and Moore are 5'7". I don't know if we could find a team in the NFL whose top three receivers are 5'9" or shorter. I mean, you know, but at least, you know, and they're shorter than their quarterback. Well, they're not that much shorter than their quarterback, Kyler Murray, whenever it is that he comes back. So, you know, that kind of shows how delusional, some people can be with some of these things.
But Howard, again, change subject. How do you, with teams losing players this free agency, you think the Philadelphia Eagles can rebound from losing three starters from the defense, possibly two more? And what do you feel of the San Francisco 49ers with the addition and subtraction, with Jimmy G going but Hargrave coming?
Yeah, I think that with the Eagles, you know, they've had some tough losses. And now there's, you know, the stories that maybe Darius Slay is going to be next to move on because he's got such a big salary and cap number. And so they're going to have to, you know, kind of re-put it together, if you will. They did convince Fletcher Cox to come back on a one-year deal. So that was a plus for them. But, you know, they've lost some good football players from that defense. And now it looks like, you know, apparently, and again, it's a speculation that, you know, after signing Rashad Penny, that they don't want to pay the going rate they think it would be for Miles Sanders on offense, the running back. And he was, you know, he was a big part, you know, of that team's success. So they'll be an interesting one to follow. And like you said, the 49ers, you know, losing their, you know, starting right tackle with Mike McGlinchey and losing some good, you know, role players on defense. And I think, you know, we knew that Garoppolo was going to move on. There was no doubt about that. And I think the Darnold signing was a smart one, although I would have thought maybe a guy like Andy Dalton would have been a good spot for the 49ers. Obviously, it all depends on Brock Purdy's recovery and Trey Lance and all those things. But, you know, Darnold, I mean, the 49ers can't seem to keep their quarterbacks healthy. And that's been a big part of Darnold's issue through his five-year career. You know, was often not healthy with the Jets. And last year with the Panthers, he missed games. When he played pretty solid football, but he missed games. So, but they got him at a good, you know, one-year deal. I think it's about $4.5 million. So it's, you know, it's not a, you know, a bad contract. And so it does give them an experienced guy that if Purdy isn't ready or they have some questions about Lance, that they have a good, you know, a backup situation there. So I think that was, you know, a smart move for the 49ers.
Howard Balzer, he covers the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL for Phoenix Sports, and a Hall of Fame selector joins us on the Going Old School show. Howard, another quarterback out there, and I know he's free to negotiate with other teams, but to me there seems to be a lack of interest for former MVP Lamar Jackson. I guess I want to ask you, do you think that's being generated, and the lack of interest seemingly being generated by the fact that, they just assumed other GMs are on the league, that he's going to eventually sign with Baltimore anyway, so why bother?
Well, here's the thing about it. First of all, in the first 2 days of that negotiating period, he was not allowed to talk to teams because he doesn't have an agent. Mm-hmm. And the rules clearly state that the only ones that can talk to teams about contracts are agents. And if a guy represents himself, he can't. Well, starting today at 4 p.m. Eastern time, he's able to talk to teams. But I think he's made a grave mistake in not getting an agent, because an agent, his job is not only to negotiate a contract. It's also to, you know, find out what the interest is. And, you know, talk to teams and this and that, and lay out what, you know, what the landscape, you know, looks like. And then communicate to the player the reality of what's going on. And I don't think Lamar Jackson has much reality in him. And so, but can anyone out there envision Lamar Jackson sitting at his house or, you know, and picking up the phone and calling general managers off the cuff and saying, "Hey, would you have some interest in me? Let's negotiate a contract." I mean, can anybody really see that? And what teams are really even, you know, looking for that right now? And A, spending the money and giving the Ravens draft choice compensation, even if it's not the two number one picks that's called for as a franchise guy, it's still, you know, the Ravens aren't going to let him go for anything less than a first-round pick and something else. And so, I like I said, I just think Jackson's made a big mistake. If, in fact, as has been reported over and over, this is all linked to not getting guaranteed money, he's not being realistic, and this is what an agent could say to him. Because an agent could be talking to these teams and basically telling him the same thing that the Ravens were. Well, we'll pay you good money. We'll give you a contract, but it's not going to be totally guaranteed. And a big part of that is because a team is not going to take the chance and risking signing a guy who's now 26, who will be pushing 30 in the third, fourth, and fifth year and be over 30 in the later years of the contract, who has missed games because of injury at the end of the last two seasons, and quite frankly, isn't a great pocket quarterback. And so teams looking at that, you know, I see, you know, Mike Florio, is he pounds the drum for collusion, you know, and all these things that these owners have agreed not to give a guy, you know, a totally guaranteed, you know, contract. Well, Kirk Cousins got a totally guaranteed contract when he started out with the Vikings, but it was only for 3 years at the time. It wasn't for five, and he didn't have an injury history. And so, to me, the collusion, I don't believe the collusion stuff. I think it's the things that I was just talking about, and that teams aren't going to, like I said, take that risk and have all this guaranteed money tied up in a guy that they're not sold on as a pocket quarterback and who can be injury prone when he runs. And who's telling, you know, here's the question, who's telling Lamar Jackson that? An agent could be telling him that if he's talking to teams and giving him this message. Hey, there's nobody else going to give you that contract that the Ravens wouldn't give you. And so now he could be stuck, you know, playing for $32 million instead of what would have been a lot more if he had signed the deal with the Ravens for less guaranteed money. Because the reality of that is, if you bet on yourself and you feel you can stay healthy, guess what? Then the guaranteed money that's in the deal, you're going to get that anyway. But even the guaranteed money, because most of the time when you're looking at a contract like this, the guarantees are in base salaries. Well, guess what? If you're still playing at a high level and you're not injured, you're going to get that base salary, whether it's technically guaranteed or not. And so that's what a good agent could be telling him. But he doesn't have that. And that's why I say I think he's made a grave mistake and has hurt himself tremendously by going this route.
So with all that going on, could it be a situation where Lamar Jackson compounds the mistake of not having an agent, having a person speak for him, and the reports are out of Baltimore that he doesn't want to sign the franchise tag and go back? I mean, could be sitting here, training camp opens up, and we still got Lamar Jackson sitting out there still trying to find a team?
It could be. I mean, it could be. And how about this one? Here's a really crazy scenario. You know, if he starts sitting out, you know, do the Ravens then go and get another quarterback, or do they just, you know, say, hey, we're going to tie our way, you know, draft another young guy to go with Tyler Huntley and just move forward. And now, granted, that $32 million, even though it's not signed, it still counts against the Ravens' cap. But what would stop the Ravens at some time if this continues on and then he holds out in training camp? Can you imagine all of a sudden the Ravens pulling the tender in August and saying, okay, you know, we're moving on from you. You know, go out there now as an unrestricted free agent. And we'll see what the market would be then as he tries negotiating for these, you know, with different teams without an agent. So, yeah, it's one of the more strange ones I've seen in a long time, but that's the way of the NFL, it seems. We can always say, just when you think you've seen it all, you know, something else happens.
Yeah. Howard, another veteran got released and is out there as a free agent, Zeke Elliott. Do you see any team taking a chance with him and seeing, do you think he has any gas left in the tank?
He's got a little bit left, but certainly not a tremendous amount. And so, I would think that there could be a team that would, not for a lot of money and not for a lot of guaranteed money. And so, you know, there could be some interest from a team, and not to be an every down back, because he wasn't an every down back with the Cowboys last season. And so that was one of the reasons why the Cowboys decided to move on from him. You know, they've got $10 million tied up in a franchise tag for Tony Pollard, which I would think at some point he would end up signing a long-term deal, and then the Cowboys can, you know, bring in some other depth at running back. You know, who knows who that might be. But, yeah, I would, like I said, I would think there'd be some interest for Ezekiel Elliott, but certainly it's probably be at numbers that he's, you know, not accustomed to making, because he's at that point in his career, especially at that position.
He's on Twitter at HBALZER721. Howard, my final question, and thank you for your time tonight, has to do with Austin Ekeler, who's seeking a trade away from the Chargers. And this is only a guy who scored 38 touchdowns in the past two seasons, which is more than some teams have. I just got to wonder what Justin Herbert is thinking as he becomes an unrestricted free agent in 2 years. And it's just a bad look for an organization that's still looking to find himself. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it was kind of weird that Ekeler took that approach. But once again, you know, it comes down to teams are gun-shy with running backs. I mean, look at the money that the Cowboys felt that they should and did spend before Elliott's contract came up, and now they're releasing him with time left on it. And we saw it with Todd Gurley with the Rams. You know, we've seen it with other running backs. And so with Ekeler, as good as he has been, you know, the Chargers, you know, are looking at that and saying, well, you know, again, we don't know what he's asking for in a contract, but obviously it's, you know, it was a deal that the Chargers didn't, you know, feel comfortable taking on. And I think many teams feel that way about running backs and just the wear and tear, you know, that they get. And we've seen it other times where right when a team signs a guy, all of a sudden they get hurt. So, you know, that's obviously a fact of life in the NFL that players get injured at all positions, but running back obviously, you know, is unique, you know, in that regard. And so who knows what'll, you know, happen with the Chargers. Certainly if, you know, this lingers and he holds out or whatever happens, then, you know, they'll be looking to, you know, replenish that position. But, you know, bottom line is you can find running back, especially when not many of them get drafted high. And so you can get guys second, third, fourth round that can come in and play well for you. And we see that all around the league.
Howard, it's been a pleasure. He's the Arizona Cardinals and NFL reporter for Phoenix Sports. He's a Hall of Fame selector as well, co-host of a weekly Hall of Fame radio show on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Howard, great catching up with you, man. We'd love to do it. The draft is a little over a month away. Hope to catch up with you then and get some draft talk. But until then, man, it's great catching up with you, Howard. All the best to you and yours.
Yeah, same to you, and always enjoy coming on with you. And, yeah, whenever that day is, you know where I am. Just reach out, and I'll be there.
You got it, Howard. Thank you so much, sir.
Take care.
You too.
Thanks, Howard.
That's Howard Balzer. Read him on phnxsports.com. He puts it out there on his Twitter page at hbalzer721. And once again, riveting conversation from a guy who's just so embedded in the NFL, JC, and pretty interesting what he has to say about Rodgers and all that stuff that goes on. But, man, Howard, it's a great source, and we always enjoy talking some football. And there's never a shortage of football talk at all during the course of the season.
No question. And it's amazing that we have two mercurial quarterbacks kind of holding things up a bit.
No question. Great point about Lamar Jackson, too. And I could be left out there in the cold. But anyway, we digress. That's Howard Balzer. Join us every Wednesday on our podcast during the NFL season. We'll do so again this year if all goes according to my plan. Keep in touch with that. But we will talk some football a little bit longer, too, because a lot's going on here in New England, if you want to talk, or maybe not going a lot here in New England. But a lot going on down in the New York, New Jersey, in the tri-state area. So with that being said, he's been on hold, and we thank him for that. Our resident Jets fan on the school show with Kip Sko and Joe. He is the one and only Lou from New Jersey. Louis.
Thank you.
How are you today? Are you celebrating?
All right.
Is there champagne? What's going on, dude? Parade?
Lou, break out the champagne, Lou.
I won't break out the champagne just yet. I mean, the Knicks are doing well. They're guaranteed at least a 500 season. Rangers, they want to thank Kane scored his first two goals as a Ranger. So it's looking pretty good so far. I wish I could say a thing for my basketball side and the college side, because Seton Hall got eliminated from the not important tournament last night. I mean the not invited
yep.
tournament. I mean the NIT. You know what I mean. Rutgers too. You know. We only have two teams. We have Princeton, but they're not going to go far. So it's kind of split down the middle with our teams. So I wouldn't say it's a celebration yet.
Look, just so see that you talk a little college hoops, because you know there's nothing going on with the Jets or Giants, right?
Yeah. Well, there is a rumor, but like I said, it's only just a rumor. I don't know if we're going to bring Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood over to New York yet.
All right. Go ahead, Joe.
It's Aaron freaking Rodgers, and you guys are going to have him, Lou. You may not like him. You may not like him, but it looks like you get stuck with him.
Hmm. Wait a minute. Whoa. Get stuck with him? The Jets are our better team with Aaron Rodgers on their team.
Yeah.
Talk about the drama.
Yeah.
Talk about the fact that he's a powder keg. But let's face it. This diva has won two MVPs in the last 3 years. So mark my words, Lou. You will be a better team with them for two reasons. You're better on the field, and you'll be talked
yes.
about. Because I was saying to Joe as he talked before the show, the Jets now are relevant. They were last year. But you're going to be on national TV. You're going to be on primetime games, and you're going to be relevant,
yes.
and you're going to be good. You're an instant playoff contender with him on there. So getting stuck with Aaron Rodgers, I don't think stuck's the word, just my opinion.
Mm. All right.
Your thoughts. Are you excited, Lou?
Well, maybe not right away. Maybe when it does become true, I might be a bit happier. And let's see what he does, through the first four games of the season. Then I might be
yes.
convinced he's going to be worth it. Now, it's all just talk.
I love it. We're waiting on Aaron Rodgers' first four games as if he's some guy drafted out of Georgia Southern. I love it. I love it, Lou.
Yeah, good.
Lou, you're a smarter man than I gave you credit for. There you go.
Gee, thanks a lot.
Yeah, that's a backhanded compliment if you heard one. Anyway, all right, Lou, what's on the show this week, man? I know it's I'm a big tournament fan. I know you may not have
got
a dog
the tournament.
In the fight,
we got the tournament. We got the free agency, the NFL. We'll cover some XFL. Oh boy, MLB. We'll also cover with the WBC Classic. There's a lot of injuries going on, and the U.S. Well, they're trying to make a run. They had a terrible loss against Mexico on Sunday, and that kind of shook us up a bit. But if they can win tonight's game, I think they're shooing to get into the quarterfinal round. So I'll have all that and more. By the way, we're now also on YouTube. So I'm a YouTube star now. Oh, boy. but the number is still the same, 512-543-4662. Same time, same station. So if you got the guts to call, give it a shot.
I love that. The guts to call. Welcome to the Squire Circle. The guts to call. Lou, always a pleasure, man. Good stuff, man. Enjoy the tournament. It's a great time. It's a good week
Thanks.
In the sports world.
Right.
You take care, Beth.
I will.
Have a good one, Lou.
Okay. All right, that's Lou from New Jersey. Now, Buff, about 48 minutes left in the show, give or take. Chips, Crow, and Joe here for you on the Going Old School show. Wednesday, March 15, 2023. And we got to talk a little Patriots, guys, because you guys are diehard fans. And I just want to say this, because I work with a guy who's a Pats fan, and he's like, what is this team doing? I don't understand where they're going. Why don't they sign anyone? And I kind of thought about it for a second. And in layman's terms, I compare to this, JC and Joe. You know when you go into a department store and you're walking down the aisles and you see the little kiosks and you're not sure where you're going to go. You go to the clothing department, you go to the pharmacy, you go to the home goods, and you're walking down the aisle and you come across that big bin of CDs or DVDs, which are two for $5. And you look in there and you say, there's got to be something in here that I like. Oh, let's go to this movie. You know what? This is kind of a good movie. I'm not sure I really liked it. I don't even remember it, but so let me throw it back in the bin. Or maybe I'll take it. And then you go to reach in for another DVD, and you say, wow, this is actually pretty good. And we may only get a couple of plays out of this, and you pick it out, and you do it anyway. Is that kind of what the Patriots do in free agency, JC and Joe?
Yeah, it's kind of going back in time. This is what they used to do when they had a certain number 12, a quarterback, winning Super Bowls. They could afford to do it back then. They can't afford or want to do it now, and I agree with you. They're shopping down to the penny candy aisle. You know, they're not getting Rashad Penny, but they're getting, you know, 10 cents on the dollar. And unfortunately, you know, all this bravado that Bob Kraft had with the letter to the season, you know, ticket holders, things are going to change, and I'm putting my foot down, and we're going to make changes to make a playoff team. He's right back to where he's doing because he's lock, stock, and barrel with what Belichick wants to do. Get guys a little bit past their prime, save some money, and just try to get along by getting along thinking things are okay. Well, they're not okay. Look at Jacoby Myers with Juju Smith-Schuster. While I think Juju Smith-Schuster is a slight upgrade, a little tougher, more yak, but this is about dollars. 3 years, $33 million. On its face, you're like, oh, same contract as Myers. Nope. Jacoby Myers got $21 million guaranteed from Las Vegas Raiders. Juju Smith-Schuster gets $16 million in guaranteed money. That $5 million is a lot to Bob Kraft. Should it be? No. Is it? Yes. And unfortunately, Patriots fans have to suffer through this again. All last 3 days. Where's D. Hopkins? Let's go get Lamar Jackson. Let's go get McClitchy, who went to Denver. Let's go get Juwan Taylor, who went to Kansas City. None of that is happening because the Patriots are still stuck thinking it's the early 2000s with Tom Brady winning Super Bowls. Unfortunately, they're now at the bottom, looking up, kind of like Hornswoggle, looking up at almost in the ring as the Patriots are dead last in every metric you can go around, and I will include coaching now because that's part of it. Quarterback, roster, coaching. The Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins have passed them by. There is no doubt about it. And I hate to say it, Joe, but you were right there saying this is going to happen to them. And unfortunately, we're still stuck in the mud in Foxborough.
It's like I'm surprised that blank paper's still not blank. They actually made a few moves, but don't forget, we may be spending pennies on the dollar, but just don't forget that across the board, all ticket prices went up this year. Well, you know, that's more money in Mr. Kraft's pocket. So they're just not spending any money. It's like, granted, like Howard said, there's not many guys left out there, but they're not even spending any money on the guys left out there, never mind on their own. And it's just, it's disheartening to see that I never thought after 20 years we'd go back to 1970s Patriots way of, yeah, we're going to get all the nobodies and we're going to get these band of brothers together and go, yeah, we might win and we might not win. So, yeah, it's nice to be sitting in the basement again after all these years. You know, now, what are you trying to relive my childhood, Mr. Kraft? Thanks.
You know, you look at, and I got into talking about someone today, a Patriots fan of mine, and he goes, "Oh, I'd rather have Myers than Schuster." I guess what I was saying is, I responded to him by saying that you ideally could have had them both, and why not bring them both in? And I want to ask you guys this first and foremost, JC. Do you buy into the fact, and we know Mac Jones loves him from Jacoby Myers, that was his boy. Any buy into the fact that this is a slap in the face of the quarterback as well? Because, I mean, you talk about starting over, and they lost that season last year, in my opinion, with how good Mac Jones is and where he fits in that offense. See what you want about the coaches. But, again, you've taken another weapon or another guy that he has camaraderie with to some extent, and we know how important that is for receivers and quarterbacks to have. How much of that is just a slap in the face to Mac Jones? And if so, is it a statement by Belichick?
I think there's some truth to that because we know how personally vindictive, you know, Bill can be about jettison guys, sitting guys, moving them along. And, yeah, I mean, he's probably ticked off with the way Mac Jones acted on the field and, you know, acted against his boys, Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. The only problem is you can do that if you have an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Belichick has no alternative whatsoever. You know, he didn't know Juju Smith-Schuster was going to not go someplace else and actually sign here for less than probably what he should have gotten on the open market. He doesn't have another option at quarterback. So I find it hard, and honestly, as a Pats fan, it's distasteful to see Belichick and Kraft, who, like you say, Joe, for 20 years have been feeding this BS about making decisions, what's best for the team, best for the organization. We are about competing each and every year. And for the last three, they've kind of just said, nah, we're just fine. We're okay. We don't have to make the playoffs. We don't have to be on prime time. And it just kills me when you got guys like Damian Woody going out saying, Bob Kraft won't stand for this. His ego won't allow him to stand for this, what's happening. He needs to be in the spotlight. Well, actions speak louder than words, and frankly, there's no action going on. So, Joe, I mean, what is the end game here for this once storied franchise?
End game. I don't know where the end game is because you're wallowing in the mud. All right, so you got rid of Jonnu Smith to save some money. You flipped receivers. Look, Chips, to answer your question, why couldn't we have Myers and Juju? Because I'd rather have Myers and Juju than Juju and Aguilar, because Aguilar ain't worth the power to blow him to hell. It's like he's a fumble machine waiting to happen.
Right.
And so we don't need him. Look, cut him. Cut bait. You have dead money. Who cares? You had Tom's dead money for the last 3 years. Let Aguilar go. Sign both. And then you got at least two decent number two receivers. Whereas, no, this year. So where are we going? You signed a couple of your own guys. You've kind of like making excuses. You're just sitting there, and it's like, so I told you, it's beckoning back to the 70s and 80s where You know what? I thought it was Belichick running it, but it's like, it just, did Raymond Berry show back up? Did it, like, Myers come back as a coach? Or somebody forget to tell me who's running this team? Because this is like, we're doing things like we have a top-tier quarterback. We don't have that top-tier quarterback. So you need to make guys and make a big splash on free agency. And they're not. It's just they're sitting back and looking at the penny candy, wondering which ones they want to buy because they only get a dime on them, even though when they get $100 in their pocket. It just, I don't know.
We're talking New England Patriots here on the Going Old School show. Chips, Crow, and Joe here for you as well. It's 7:50 p.m. Eastern on March 15th of 2023. I apologize. If you want to call us, 515-602-9730. Give us your thoughts on free agency, whatever team you root for, 515-602-9730. Guys, we talked last year, JC, I'm going to start with you, about the players and the dissension, and we saw that come to fruition at the end of the year and even into the offseason. Players were not happy with the coaches, with the system, pointing fingers, yada, yada, yada. Listen to Jacoby Myers' comments to Jucina Anderson after leaving the Patriots. And this is quote, "It's hard to turn down Las Vegas when you look at their offense, when you look at their coaches. They wanted me, I wanted them. Unfortunately, it didn't work out with the Patriots. I put a lot of effort in my time there. I appreciate them, but God works in mysterious ways. I am blessed." End quote. I guess what I'm trying to say, JC, there's going to be a carryover from 2022. As bad as it was, there's going to be leakage. There's going to be seepage. You know what runs downhill. And this could run downhill into the season with players just so fed up with what happened last year, so sick and tired of the coaches, and so pissed off at the way it ran, and maybe 1 year of their careers had been wasted. Maybe Jacoby Myers is echoing those sentiments. But that's what I see with these comments. There may be more to that than meets the eye with players who are retained, and there's going to be some drippage and the leak, and that little crack in the dam or the door frame, it's going to have to be sealed up. And that's what I'm a little worried about when you hear those comments, JC.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of reasons for that. You know, obviously one was because the Patriots lowballed him with his offer, you know, before free agency, the tampering period started. They offered him $6 million a year, reportedly. A two-year deal, $12 to $14 million. A joke, because that's, you know, what we thought before free agency started, the reports were $15 to $20 million. So he's probably a little hurt about the open market, and he only had one suitor. It was Raiders or bust for Jacoby Myers, reportedly, from you know, Rap Sheet and James Palmer and Tom Pelissero on the NFL Network. That was it. And so I can see that percolating up. And at least the good thing for the Patriots moving forward, and there hasn't been a lot of good things, is that Patricia and Judge are no longer – that structure's gone.
Mm-hmm.
We know Billy O'Brien will return offensively and give structure each and every day. Make sure guys know what they're doing, know that they're practicing well, know – and he's going to get after it. Hell, if you can go after the GOAT on the sideline in Washington – you certainly can go after anybody else like Mac Jones. So I'll put him in his place. So I think they can stem that a little bit. And, you know, when you talk about the guys, you know, that they signed, you know, Anderson from Denver and Reef from the Bengals, a couple of offensive tackles, what you hear about them, they're not stars. They're grindy guys,
yeah.
Hogs, like they used to have in Washington, but good locker room guys. So I think what Belichick and you know, is trying to do, these moves aren't flashy, but you've got to replace guys like Devin McCourty. Matthew Slater's going to have even more reduced role.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to redo the voices in that locker room because you're spot on, Chips. If you go out and go 1-3 for the third consecutive year, that dam could burst. So we talked about it with the Red Sox. It was important for them to win spring training games before the WBC. Why? Culture. Same thing for the Patriots. Because you're spot on, Chips. They've got to reverse the culture that's in these guys' heads from last year, the stink of summer that was on them last year in training camp. They got to do that, or you're right. This thing could spiral even worse than what we think it could be just because of what the talent they have on the field.
JC, look, the talent on the field, but look, to me, I think if you change one thing, at least you get a little bit better and you can play field position game. But I've never seen in the last 25 years a worse team's performance by any team of Patriots in the last 25. Look, they just were atrocious. From punting to coverage to kickoffs to anything involved, it's like it was just they've got to start there. They need a new punter. They need a new guy that can do kickoffs because Folk isn't the guy. You need guys that can cover punts. You need guys that can block for the punter. And we just need to at least, if you can at least have decent special teams, you can keep your team in the game by playing field position. We couldn't even play that last year. So we have a long way to go, and it's the culture needs to change, and it needs to change quickly because you just can't have what you had last year. But you won't know that, Chips, until this year comes around if the culture's changed. Because you can hear it all you want, but until it's actually see what's on the field, you'll never know if by getting rid of Judge and Patricia that the culture's getting better. And like JC said, you got good locker room guys that might help, might not, but it can't hurt to have good locker room guys, and you go from there. But we won't be able to tell until we see what's on the field and how bad their body language is. And we won't know until at least come sort of not spring training, become preseason and see what happens.
Suffice it to say, John Crow, that there is a lot of pressure on Billy O'Brien. He's the focal point. He's the savior. That's going to be pretty interesting how that unfolds. And we're going to watch. He's going to be under a microscope week to week, starting right from day one of training camp, JC.
Yeah, no question. And I'll answer your question with a question. With the pressure being on Billy O'Brien, how much stroke, how much clout do you think he has, Joe, in this draft coming up? Because you're going to have to be looking for not only a stud wide receiver, probably another tackle, but also, looking ahead, another quarterback. Because if they're already not enamored with Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi's not the answer. So if Billy O'Brien is to be a guy that's going to stay here for more than the 1 year, he's going to have that influence. Does he have the stroke coming up in the draft, or do you think Belichick's going to undercut him again?
If Bill Belichick has any brains, and knows that if he wants to keep Billy around for more than a couple of years, he's going to have to, like, let go of the reins and let Bill, just like when Scott Pioli was here, you're going to have to work together with somebody to at least bounce back and forth of who you think is on your board, who you're looking to draft, who you want to draft, and who you're looking for. So he's going to have to at least take a step, stands back, and let Bill O'Brien have at least as much clout as he does. Is he willing to do that? Well, let's. I tell you this much. You'll find out come draft, because if he does, then you'll have an offensive draft, and you'll have guys, and they won't be reaching as much as they have in past years. If he's willing to at least give Bill a chance here, Mr. O'Brien a chance here, he's going to have to, like, give him the reins. Give him a little bit of the reins because, you know, as one infamous coach said, if I'm going to go shopping, at least let me buy the groceries. So let's see if he lets Mr. O'Brien pick some of the guys he wants.
My question with Bill Belichick is, I think in his mind, and I'm not sure he's done it, none of us do really, maybe Burry's does, who knows, he's going to start thinking about the finish line, because I think Bill O'Brien being brought in, and we talked about it ad nauseum when it was rumored and until when they actually did actually bring him and he was officially named the offensive coordinator. He's going to be looked at by Robert Kraft as a possible successor to Bill Belichick. And how is Bill going to handle that, knowing he may have the coach in waiting underneath him? So I guess the question is, and we'll never know, we may get inklings as it transpires and as it unfolds, is Bill going to be open to that? Is Bill going to be open to the fact that he may have the coach in waiting after he's done on his staff now? And how's Bill is going to handle that? And that's going to be my biggest thing. The mindset with Bill Belichick is it's time to start winding now. Not necessarily this year, maybe not the next year, but 3 years from now, I think Bill Belichick has got to be saying, I am not going to be the head coach of this team. And if he's not, then this could get a little bit hairy, guys. JC?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminds me of Jim Boeheim up in Syracuse, where, you know, the last couple of years it has been awful. And, you know, I just don't know, for a guy who, for the last 20 years, before this little, you know, downturn, was very successful. Every year you knew your team was going to be a competitor, a contender. I'd love to sit down with Bill and just ask him the simple question. Is this any fun for you anymore? Do you actually enjoy coaching anymore? Grinding out those days that you say are so long, getting there at 6 a.m., going till 10 o'clock at night and just grinding it out, you know, when you're 70, it's like, because it doesn't seem to me, I mean, as little as they show to us, the fans, that it's any fun. Your actions don't seem like you're trying to build a new contending team and trying to help your quarterback going into his third year. I mean, it just seems to me, you know, it's like that bad couple where you're just trying to undercut each other each and every day. You still stay married. You're still living in the same house. You don't have any plans to divorce, but you're just sitting there, and it's just miserable, and there's just no way out. There's no exit strategy. And you're right, Chips. Now, it's, you know, I don't need him to come out and say, I am only going to coach 3 more years, and here's my successor, and we know that's not going to happen. But it would be nice for him to say, okay, I am in it to win it now. And if, like my players, like he has done, if I don't get the job done, somebody else should be in this chair. But we know he's never going to be down that road.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob Kraft has to hold him to that accountability. And we thought that was coming. And I just don't see it. I mean, I need my owner to step up and say, I have accountability. So does my head coach. If we don't make the playoffs this year, there will be changes. I would love to see Bob Kraft say that, but I don't expect him to. So it's kind of like, where do we go, Joe? I mean, where do we go with this season? I mean, we're in March, and I've never seen a fan base of the Patriots so down on a team at this point.
Yep.
Well, you never see them down because why wouldn't they be? Have you given them any reason to be up? Have you given them any reason to have a little bit of faith in what you're doing? No, because you're running the show like it's still Tom Brady. It's post-Tom Brady. 3 years post-Tom Brady, and you're still acting like Tom's your quarterback, so you're still trying to act like you don't want to give up any information and you want to be hard to deal with and you don't want to answer any questions. He's gotta come down from that. I know he's near the finish line, but it didn't mean to get grumpier and gnarlier as you got closer to the finish line. Lighten up a little bit. It's like if you want to win this year, it could be all or nothing for Mr. Belichick this year, because how many more years does Kraft sit there and allow this? I know he says, but he hasn't proven that he cares, because Kraft is giving us lip service, but that's all Robert Kraft has done, is giving us lip service. You've got to hold Bill Belichick's feet to the fire. And until he does, Bill's going to run it the way he wants, and it's just getting ugly, and it's just like nobody even knows where we're going to be, and it's like just get used to the basement, you know, just give me a new couch, chair, TV. I'll sit here comfortably in the basement and watch the rest of the team climb above me and get better as we just keep on getting worse.
Isn't it just a product in the process, guys? And, you know, I think a part of it is, and it's just that what were you, as a Patriots fan, what are you going through now? You're just another team now. And I think what it does, JC, it makes you appreciate the run they had. And as years go on, when you're not going to be as good, you don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback back there, you're not going to roll out of bed every year and roll to a championship game and maybe a Super Bowl. I think it's going to just make – and I'm talking about the average fan base, not you guys, just the average fan base, the average Patriot fan. Just appreciate where you've been and what you did, because what would you guys say to a Patriot fan who's looking for a quick fix? I know you guys are. You guys are level-headed Pats fans, JC. A lot of Patriot fans are still looking for that quick fix. How can we get better overnight? We all know here sitting on this discussion right now that it's not going to happen. So what do you say to those Pats fans, JC, who are looking for the quick fix?
Just what you said. There is no quick fix. The quick fix is when you go all in. When you say, okay, 2-3 years, we are not a good team right now, but we're going to go all in with talent, with skill, playmakers. The Patriots really don't have anybody on that team that can make plays other than Matthew Judon. That's it. There's not any other guy that you could go to any other NFL head coach right now and say, if I don't stop him, I'm in trouble. Yeah. And I think we see it every week. You know, when you play the Chiefs, oh, my God, you got to account for Kelsey. You got to stop Mahomes on offense. You got to stop Jones and Clark on defense. When you look at the Patriots, Judon, that's it. And honestly, pretty well, you know, handled. You know, maybe Josh Uche makes that second step and, you know, continues the great season he had last year. But offensively, there's not one person on that entire offense that says, they're going to beat me today, so I have to play X. I can't play man. I got to play zone. I got to play cover two. You have defensive coordinators on the lead saying, all right, easy game plan this week. I can just sit back. They're going to throw the little short passes. I'm good. My offense will score 24 points. The game's over. So until that happens, unfortunately, I don't have a good answer for those pig hats who want a quick turnaround, because they're not coming. I mean, Joe, look at what the Miami Dolphins have done. I mean, over the past 2 years, they augmented Tua with Waddle, with Hill, with Mostert, with Wilson. Defensively, they brought in Chubb. They brought in Ramsey. The signing of Long from Tennessee. Great signing, David Long, at linebacker. This is getting better and better. And you look at it, you say, how can those teams do it? How did the Rams get all those talented guys do it? How do all these other teams make that quick jump for overnight? But the Patriots can't. And what would your answer be, Joe? Why can't the Patriots do it?
Well, for one, no offense, but the Rams' overnight success has kind of come to a screeching halt where, look, doing it that way, you can win. It's just not sustainable. It's more sustainable what Miami's doing because they've drafted young kids. They've had good drafts. And then they've just augmented what they've had through the drafts with plays because they've become a destination because they've started winning. Look, if you're a Pink Cat fan, what you better hope for this year is a good third, fourth, and fifth round selections, because that's where the meat and potatoes of a team is made, is in the middle of the draft. And we have struck out so bad over the last 5-6 years that it's showing up on the field now. You need to at least have good drafts to at least get a better team, to get a younger team, because we got older quick and we haven't got young enough fast enough. Like you said, we got Judon and Uche on defense. That's about it. Jonathan Jones, he's okay, but he's not the all-world beater for a cornerback, but it's what we have. As far as on the offense, we don't have anybody they're afraid of. They look at our offense and go, yeah, okay. It's just, you know, wait, it's a defensive guy calling offensive plays. We got this. We got this. Sort of like the water boy. The guy's on the other end going, look at this. I get the calling plays for dummies book here. I'm like, yeah, we got this made because we're only playing a guy that doesn't know. So see what happens this year with Billy O'Brien. Let's have a good draft. Let Billy draft who he wants. It's going to take time. It's going to take 2-3 years, but it's going to take time. But just show me that you're moving in the right direction. They haven't done it in 3 years. Why? It's just you got to move forward, and we keep on moving backwards. We go the 3 steps forward, 5 steps backwards. It just drives me nuts. But you got teams like Carolina out there who's signed Miles Sanders for 4 years, and Jamal Williams goes to the Saints for 3 years. Oh, wait, so these teams are getting better. And Patriots just sit there and go, yeah, okay. Here we go for another 48 hours. That white paper sheet will stay clean because nothing will be written down. You know, here we go. You've signed a couple of guys. They're like, oh, we'll get the season ticket holders off our case. We signed a couple of guys. Nothing big. We'll go for some more.
If this team is to move forward, JC, would it behoove them to lose much more than they win? I.e., they can make strides, and it doesn't have to equate into wins, because the less you win, the better your draft pick will be. Is that where we are with this team looking towards the future?
Well, let's play that out. Say that they tank it and they go all the way to the bottom. Number one pick 1 year from now. We're drafting Caleb Williams out of USC. We're starting over with a new 5-year rookie contract and hope Belichick and O'Brien don't screw it up like they screwed up the first-round draft pick in Mac Jones. I mean, that would be my worry with just going all in and tanking, is I don't have enough confidence in Bill Belichick, and it's amazing to say, you know, after his career and, you know, arguably the greatest coach of all time, but I don't have the faith in him to build it back up overnight to do that and say, I am going to surround Williams, whomever, you know, is the quarterback of the flavor of the month, because he is screwed it up so badly with Mac Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, when in rookie of the year, you thought, okay, year two, here's the big pump. And he surrounded him with crap. And I don't know. That would be a tough one for me to swallow as a fan, to see them if they man, I don't know, Joe. I don't know if I could buy that and see the other way out. It might be a situation where they tank and they might stay down there for a few years.
A few years? Because we're heading down that way right now. I don't have any faith until they get their talent evaluators up to snuff. I don't have any faith in them getting a good draft at all this year, next year, the year after. So, no, because, I mean, it would start this year. I know it's not the flavor everybody wants to hear, but what should happen this year is you find the best offensive lineman still out there who's worthy of that pick at number 14 or whatever, wherever we are, and you start with your offensive line. That's where Cincinnati way back in the day started with Anthony Munoz. They started with the offensive line. You're not going to find a Munoz at a 14, but you could find somebody solid at 14 to get the building blocks, because without the building blocks, I don't care how good your stars are, it's always one in the trenches. So until you get better in the trenches, I don't care what you got in the rest of the team. It's just not going to work, because it's going to keep on crumbling underneath itself.
And to follow up, Joe, it's just one thing. Ask me that question again after the draft, because it will show us if Matt Groh, Bill O'Brien, and other people in that organization really have a bigger feel.
I said the same thing, JC. I feel the same way. Talk to me after this draft, and let's see what they did in the draft because if I'm scratching my head after that draft, then it's like all hope is lost.
Okay, so say they do nothing more in free agency. Here's the draft, last weekend of April, in Kansas City, by the way. Where do they go? What's their number one priority? I know there's a lot there, JC and Joe, but where do they go right from the start? First pick in the draft, wherever it is, what do you see them doing? What do you think they should do?
Yeah, I'm with what Joe said. You know, I mean, you got Cole Strain last year. You need someone young, stud. This is a good draft for an offensive tackle. You need a, I mean, you've got a couple of veterans who can fill it out. You're always going to need depth with Anderson and Reef, but you need a stud. And at 14, that person's going to be there. You know, whether it's the kid out of Michigan, I forget his name off the top of my head, or not. That's where you got to start, because I don't know about you, but I have no confidence in Bill Belichick picking a wide receiver at 14. I know everybody's gaga about Flowers from BC, but let's be honest. Whoever, if they pick a wide receiver at 14, it's going to be a bust. Just pick the name. It's going to be a bust, because it usually does. So
you're right.
I'm with you, Joe. Get that tackle. Start building. Protect Mac Jones this year. You got a good, solid running game with Stevenson and Strong, because, you know, they're not going to re-sign Damien Harris. So get that together. Maybe you get Schuster in the slot. You've got Henry. Get him back going again. And whomever, Thornton on the outside, let him be part of the game plan, Bourne. Who knows? You still need a number one, but building blocks. I agree with you, Joe. Offensive tackle at 14.
And just look, the only way you're going to get better, protect what quarterback you have back there. Look, we had bad teams in the 70s, but then we had great teams with run-ins. Tanner and Gray, you're not going to find those guys again, but if you have a solid offensive line, it covers up a lot of the impurities of the rest of the team. It gives the quarterback a little bit more. I don't care how good the defense is on the other side. You only can cover guys so long. If you have a good offensive line, the guy's good all day long, he's going to find an open receiver. Any quarterback's going to find that open receiver. And we go from there and start from there. Look, then how many of these wide receivers out there from teams actually are first-round picks? Look at down the line. Who of them are actually first-round picks? You can get a good, very good receiver second, third, fourth round. Receiver doesn't have to be a first round. There's more bust of wide receivers, not just the Patriots, of all teams in the first round of receivers than any other position. Because you can stay where you want. There's guys out there that were overlooked, overpassed. And so second, third, fourth round, look for the receivers. Hell, Gronkowski, one of the greatest tight ends out there, third round draft pick. You look for the guys falling between the cracks. You look for the teams, those guys. But just go. I want them to win in the trenches. Win or lose on the scoreboard is one thing, but if you can start winning in the trenches, things can only look up and get better. Until you want to win in the trenches, I told you, I don't care what you got for wide receivers. It's not going to matter if you can't win in the trenches.
We were going to talk hockey, but we got carried away with Howard and good football talk during free agency period. So my apologies. Ryan DeResta, our NFL NHL insider, will be on with us next Wednesday to talk Bruins and NHL. But guys, just about 11 minutes left in the program. I do want to talk to WWE and what you saw on Monday Night Raw as we inch closer, JC, to WrestleMania in Hollywood.
Yeah, good night at the Amp in Providence. They took a little stroll, and I know we were talking, Joe, before the show, but is it time now that Kevin Owens finally says, I need some help?
I see that happening on next Monday night's Raw when Roman Reigns shows up and Kevin Owens finally says to Sami Zayn, somehow, somewhere down the line, if Sami Zayn plays savior and saves him, and says, okay, I need your help. Let's gang up together and let's tag team together, belts from them. Let's start knocking down that dynasty they call the bloodline. And I think that's the time this week. There should be, if they're actually going with that storyline, you should see hints and teases of that with Kevin Owens going forward. I just wish, the only thing I wish is that, look, Mysterio needs a deck, Dominic, because I'm tired of that freaking stick of Dominic, because it's getting old, it's getting sickening. Are they looking for that much of a pop? Because they're going to get any kind of a pop if anybody decks Dominic right now, because, hell, if I was his partners, I would be decking him because he's a useless little punk.
Yeah, but you know what, Joe? It's been so relatable, you know, the dad not wanting to deck his son who's gone astray. But mark my words, Dominic is going to do something to Mama Mysterio in the next week that's going to make Rey say yes.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a match in WrestleMania, and it's going to be a good match because Rey Mysterio is so over with the fans that he can't do anything wrong as small as he is. He's the Mexican-style wrestler he is, and he's going to be so over that no matter what they do with this, it's going to be a hit with him. It's going to be one of the major matches in WrestleMania. So I just can't wait for that to finally happen. The only thing I'm tired of is Edge angle because, sorry, Edge coming out basically saying, oh, you live for this? Retire, buddy. Please retire. It's like I miss you as the Christian partner, but as a solo, nah, I'm over it. I'm past it.
JC, can I interrupt? I want to ask you guys. I have a storyline. I just want to throw at you. Mama Mysterio gives her protege some really interesting looks, and they get really close. Is there any shot that Mama Mysterio and her protege will be romantically involved at some point?
I don't know. You're talking about Rhea Ripley? Mommy?
Yes.
I don't know. I think she's got bigger fish. She's going to take the title at WrestleMania over Flair. So I think Mommy might be, you know, onto bigger things. I think after WrestleMania, I think Judgment Day is going to get a few new members. Maybe Liv Morgan joins the crew. Maybe a couple of guys from NXT join the crew. And I don't know, but it'll be interesting because, you know, they toe that line so well. We'd love, they should write out, you know, they should come out with a little book of all the sayings that Mommy's whispering into Dom's ear.
I don't know if they'll cross that line and go with the romantic way of doing it. What I think will get Ray over is the fact of Mommy says that she's a better mother than Dom's real mother ever was.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Like that.
Absolutely. Get the mom involved.
That you get mom involved, I think Rey Mysterio loses it. And that's where I think it goes with that one. The only match I really wish they would just knock off because it was a bad booking was Monday with Brock Lesnar walking out of the ring scared of almost. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The biggest badass male wrestler of the last 10 years, and he walked out like he was afraid of somebody. That went over like a freaking lead balloon.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But here's the question. Two things. Will Brock Lesnar almost over, as he should, because he's the younger guy, and Lesnar will probably go away after WrestleMania? And two, can Brock Lesnar F5 almost?
Ooh. That would be good if you could F5 him. But, yeah, I think it's like, let's see if we can put him over, put almost over. It's tough to do because the guy has no natural talent. The guy's got less moves. The guy's got less moves than John Cena, so it's gonna be tough to do to get him to look good. And Brock's got his work cut out for him to make him look as good if he's gonna put him over. But that's where MVP needs to do his magic and get on the mic and do some because. He's on the Paul Heyman type deal of working the magic with the mic because Paul Heyman has kept his bloodline storyline going pretty well over the last couple of weeks because it's kind of been a little stagnant. But I look for, like, Friday, a little bit more storylines to be made. Monday should be an excellent show with Reigns there. So let's see if they can keep these storylines and definitive storylines, because, you know, a couple of these weeks, I hear you, JC, you really can't do much because there's too much time in between now and WrestleMania. But now as it gets closer, you can work on some of the tweaking of the storylines, and I'm looking forward to that.
Last thing for you, Joe. Bobby Lashley now doesn't have a match because Bray Wyatt hurt. He no-showed the MSG show last Sunday. What do you think about they've kind of teased the Hurt Business getting back together. What if MVP works his magic? Bobby Lashley gets one over on Brock Lesnar because they didn't have the third, you know, he got low-blowed, you know, in the last pay-per-view. Could we see that at WrestleMania where, one, you get almost over, Lashley gets over on Lesnar, and you get a newfound Hurt?
I would like that, but I'd still like to see Shelton Benjamin. Could be a decent that could be a good tag team, but they're just not doing anything with it. The tag team is getting stagnant. That's why the bloodline needs to crumble so this tag team division can go forward. And I would love to see Lashley with the new Hurt Business. I like Lashley better as a heel than a freaking face anyways. And him and Omos as a team, that would be a team unstoppable. That's like a couple of unmovable objects. That could work. But then Lashley could put Omos over after Brock did, and you could push him even more with him helping. That's a good. That could be a good angle to go with. Maybe they will. I'd love to see it, but time will tell on that one.
All right, boys. That was a quick hour and a half, as always, a couple minutes shy, but I want to thank you both for coming on. And JC and Joe, let's do it. Let's pump up the old school podcast Facebook page. Go on there, people. You have till noontime Thursday to go on to the March Madness Tournament Bracket Challenge. Punch it in. Go to a, you know, punch in, what is it, the old school podcast username, and challenge us. It'll be fun. It's good for craps and giggles. Good stuff. Joe has us in. I'm a little late because I like to watch the first four because sometimes that sways my thinking. But JC, it's good stuff, man.
Yeah, no question. And hey, the more the merrier, because you know when it comes to bracket busting, everybody's welcome. Everybody, come on. And heck, sometimes when you don't know anything is when you win the whole damn thing.
There is no question. Much like fantasy football, you overthink stuff, but you're right. Sometimes the less you know about what's going on, you like the mascot. You think one of the guys is cute if you're a female or a male for that matter. You like the head coach. He dresses nice. Those are all reasons to pick a team because it's that much. It's that random. And we've seen it time and time again. Love the NCAA March Madness. Davey slaying Goliath. Nothing like it in sports, man. Joe, John, always a pleasure, man. Always appreciate your time. You guys are more important to me than you even know. Always. Thanks for the trip.
Anytime. Go PC.
You bet.
Anytime. Enjoyed it.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you, as always. For Howard Balzer, we appreciate him. Read his stuff on Phoenix Sports, phnxsports.com, on Twitter at HBALZER721. We'll have him on in a little over a month to talk some NFL draft. Ryan DeResta next Wednesday on the show to talk a little NHL. Until then, you people take care. Be well. Stay safe. And we will talk to you in a little bit.